Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Mr. Speaker, Mr. Vice President, members of Congress, and fellow Americans, I am sending this Congress a plan that you should pass right away. You should pass this jobs plan right away. Pass this jobs bill. Pass this jobs bill. You should pass it right away. Pass this jobs bill. Pass it right away. Pass this jobs bill. Pass this bill. Pass this jobs bill. Pass this bill. Pass this jobs bill. Pass this jobs bill. You should pass it. And I intend to take that message to every corner of this country. Let's get to work, and let's show the world once again why the United States of America remains the greatest nation on earth. Thank you very much.
Oh, yes, I'm the great pretender.
All right, so we know that what went on. It's just another political speech. I had one of the top accountants in America analyze the speech from the point of view of taxes, and I have that information for you today on the Savage Nation. It's interesting. There is actually going to be a savings initially for some businesses, believe it or not. However, it's going to be offset by increased taxes later on, but I'll lay that out for you. But look, this was a speech that truly abused his power because he lied to us once again. And I want you to go to michaelsavage.com, and let's look at the top story that I chose for today. President Perry would mean high noon for trial lawyers. It's a stunning article. And for this reason alone, Perry needs to be elected. And the only people who would lose in the biggest way, the biggest group that would lose, would be the vermin called trial lawyers. You see, tort reform is something we've all been demanding to rein in the vermin. But they never do it. Everyone says it. No one does it. But in Texas, Governor Perry enacted medical malpractice reform in Texas, slashing payouts from bogus lawsuits. As a result, the vermin with law degrees fled the state, and the good doctors who left after being fleeced in the Lone Star State are now coming back by the thousands to practice medicine because the vermin have left. There's more to it. Governor Perry signed a loser-pays law letting prevailing parties recover their attorney's fees. This is astounding. Loser-pays rips the guts out of the extortion model of litigation that has made trial lawyers so rich. In my opinion, trial lawyers are gangsters there's nothing you could say about them other than they're gangsters. And that is why Perry is being attacked as a cowboy by the vermin from the law firms. I pray to God he becomes president. I pray he throws them out of the United States. Let them go to work for Al-Qaeda. 1-800-449-8255. If you've tried to do business in the state of California, you'll know what I'm talking about. And this article was written by a lawyer who is a civil trial lawyer who defends companies against verminous lawyers who make up fake lawsuits. So Perry's the right guy, but I know you don't want to hear anything about it. I'll tell you, I have something for you that's a real treat, and that is me from 9/11/01, what I did when I went on the air that day. I know it's, you know, the 9/11 show is today or Monday or both, and everyone's all over this, which is to be expected. It was our Pearl Harbor. I was the first one in America to call it our Pearl Harbor. Many have picked up on that, as usual, but that's okay. It doesn't matter who picked up on what. It was our Pearl Harbor, and you must never forget it. What I'm about to play for you on the Savage Nation shortly will be Michael Savage from 9/11/01, a 6 minute and 43 second piece of dynamite, and I'm going to ask you a question. When you listen to this piece of tape, I want you to just ask yourself one question. Did I say anything on that day of infamy that was wrong in retrospect? I mean, we're looking back now 10 years later. I was very emotional. I said things on that day about the barbarians who attacked us, and we're going to play it raw here on the Savage Nation momentarily. And I want you to listen to it, and then I want you to tell me and tell yourself, is there anything embarrassing about what I said? Is there anything wrong in what I said on that day of infamy? Because it's a very important, I think it's a seminal, you know, speech, even though it was one from the heart. It was pretty accurate. I listened to a bit of it. Also, I want you to mark your calendars because Tuesday is D-Day for the Savage Nation. I mean D-Day because you have to go into a bookstore and buy Abusive Power. That's right. I'm asking you to do it for me. I want you to buy Abusive Power. I want you to send a message to Publishers Row and a message to Hollywood that we are conservatives, we are patriots, we love America, and we read and we go to the movies. And we're sick and tired of the garbage that you're producing. That's it. It's that simple. Again, I'll make the commitment that I made on the show this week so you don't miss it. Every dollar in royalties that I make over the advance, should I make anything, and that's an iffy thing, right? You never know. But should I earn any royalties on this book? Every dollar of the royalties will go into the Savage Legal Fund. And after my legal trials are over, any money that may be left over will be going into a conservative scholarship fund from that profit, should there be any. Okay, is that good enough? What else can I do for you? So in a moment, I'm going to play Michael Savage speaking 9/11/01. But before we do that, you got to listen to an open microphone between Boehner and Biden at the podium. This is after Biden says that he's protecting us from the barbarians at the gates. These are the two leaders now. Let's say the assistant leaders, the vice chancellors. Here's Biden laughing with Boehner. And you know, how many times have I said to you it's a two-party, it's a one-party system with two-card Monty? 100 times, 1,000 times? This proves it beyond a reasonable doubt that Boehner is a faker. He's a check-pants Republican. Biden was saying what he was told to say, attack the Tea Parties, so the jerk did it. Listen to clip four.
Hey, I'm one of those barbarians.
You are, but you're at the gate, man. Where's the gate?
How are you?
How are you, pal?
I'm all right.
So there's Boehner coming up saying to Biden, I'm one of those barbarians, and Mr. Watergun Biden says, you are, man. You are, and they're at the gates. And then Mr. Boehner, the great Republican, starts telling about a recent round of golf he played, and then someone says to them, your mics are live. And you wonder why America's in trouble? You actually think that either party really cares about this thing we called America? You notice I said this thing we called America? This thing of ours? This nation of ours? This thing we called America that has been destroyed by the special interests called the Republicans and the Democrats? Okay, 1-800-449-8255. So I've opened up with two ideas, three ideas. There's many more ideas on the Savage Nation. Let's start with a few calls. Houston, Bob, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Oh, yes. I just wanted to confirm your comment about Rick Perry's reduction on tort reform. And I'm a physician here in the state and have regularly in the past, over the last 25 years, had a lot of activity being an expert witness on the defense of doctors being sued. However, that has dropped to maybe I'll get called once a year, where it was a couple of times a month. He has made...
And that's all because Perry introduced tort reform in order to drive the vermin with law degrees out of the state.
In these cases, it was... amazingly frivolous lawsuits that would go all the way to trial, tens of thousands of dollars spent on depositions and discovery, and, you of all people know what that's like.
Yes, sir. Before you even get
to the court.
Yes,
and
that's right.
Directly because...
Yeah, it's called extortion. Everyone knows if you sue somebody, you're extorting them. You're extorting them to settle with you prior to the trial.
Absolutely.
And so this tort reform that he introduced is a wonderful thing. And I pray to God that Governor Perry becomes president and he enacts medical malpractice reform across America and he drives the tort lawyers out of the United States of America. I'll be right back.
Savage.
It is Rock and Roll Friday on the Savage Nation. Never forget that it's Rock and Roll Friday on the Savage Nation. It could be 9/11. in 2 days, but it's Rock and Roll Friday today. Whatever. No, I will play the 9/11/01 speech I gave right on this show. You won't believe it when you hear it, but we don't have the time right now. I'm going to do it after the next break. I want to take some callers. You got to hear these callers right now. Jacob in Sacramento, California, go ahead, please.
I just want to say you're right about Egypt all along, Savage. You're exactly on the money there.
Right. Egypt, I told you, when they call it the Arab Spring, I told you it was the rising of the Muslim Brotherhood and Al-Qaeda. I told you they'd go to war with Israel. I told you that it was orchestrated by George Soros and Zbigniew Brzezinski and other Jimmy Carter acolytes. I told you it was the ushering in of an age of darkness unlike any we've ever seen. What the vermin in the media are calling the Arab Spring is the Arab darkness.
Yes.
And you're getting a free copy of Abuse of Power. Everyone's a winner today on the Savage Nation, as usual. Okay? Tucson, Arizona. Charles, welcome to the program.
Hey, Michael. I just wanted to let you know that I have lent out Trickle Up Poverty to as many people as I could. The owner of my company is now reading it, as well as she pre-ordered Abuse of Power, and I just did so today, and so really looking forward
to
the book.
Look, Trickle Up Poverty is a book that should be read right through the next election. Let's not just push it aside. It has so much information in it that needs to be circulated right now that I'm reluctant to start talking about Abuse of Power, but I'm a prolific individual, and I keep producing because I can't look back. I am like the true proverbial Rolling Stone because I try to gather no moss. Stay on the line. A free copy goes out. Even though you bought it, you're getting another one. Now, here's a very serious caller coming up as well out of New York on WOR Bruno. Go ahead, please.
Hey, I'm coming up. Go to Plato and listen to him.
Bruno, you're on the Savage Nation, please. Go ahead and speak.
Yes, hi. I was born in the Weimar Republic. I was raised during the Nazi time. I lived in the communists, and I lived under capitalism. As a matter of fact, I found out that it's all one and the same. They are always the haves versus the have-nots.
So whether they were Nazis or communists, there was a party elite, is what you're saying in part, correct?
Precisely. And the same elite turned either way.
Look, Bruno, you've lived through a hell that I can only say I lived through books and such. I'm not asking you to give me your political opinion here in America because I doubt very much that you have a strong opinion one way or the other with either party. Are you disenchanted with the political system you see here or what?
And the same happens several times when the ball game is on. They just simply cut you off and play or football or whatever.
I have no control over that, but at least we're talking now, right?
Right.
And so, Bruno, given that you lived through the Weimar Republic and you saw the Nazis fighting the communists and the communists fighting the Nazis, do you fear that the same thing is emerging in America now?
Eventually, yes. Until I'm looking forward that somebody will crystallize as a political leader that can rise the people to action.
Well, wait, lead the people to action, but what type of action are you seeking?
Well, that's very difficult to say because I don't see.
Do you mean unify the people to make the people get along? Is that what you mean by rise to action or something else?
Theoretically, I would say abolish the Democratic as well as the Republican Party and say we are all Americans and we are looking out for America and the good for America.
Well, Bruno, what you say sounds radical, but most Americans do not even understand that. I believe it was George Washington who warned us against the establishment of political parties. He said that there should be no parties because eventually they will only simply seek their own power and their own interests. And I believe it is the party system that is destroying America, incidentally. I don't think that there's a big difference in between either party, Bruno. When I listen, for example, when I listen to this speech that was on the not on the microphone between Boehner and Biden, and they're both laughing, they're laughing at the idiots called Americans. They don't even understand that we know that they're into it for a game.
Well, there you have the confirmation.
Well, I like your didactics. Bruno, let me send you a gift, a copy of abuse of power, which I think you of all people will certainly understand. Again, when I come back, I'm not taking a break yet. We're going to play from 9/11/01, what I, Michael Savage, said. Many of you didn't know who I was in that day 10 years ago. I've been on the radio for 16, 17 years. Listen to the speech when we play it, and I'm going to listen to it with you, and then I'm going to ask you, did I say anything on that day of infamy that you think, looking back, was oafish or wrong, okay? I don't know. I'm going to listen to the whole thing with you. But, Bruno, you're getting a free copy of Abuse of Power. When we get your address, we will send it out to you. Again, let's not lose another big story. President Perry would mean high noon for trial lawyers. He enacted medical malpractice reform in Texas. He drove the vermin with tort degrees out of the state. They could no longer destroy doctors and hospitals the way John Edwards did. Let's not forget one of the greatest scoundrels of modern times was the shyster John Edwards, who I called out the day he appeared. He made his fortune by destroying. He was like a grim reaper. Edwards was like a grim reaper in the Southeast. He destroyed doctors and hospitals one after the other. And then he came here and tried to pretend he was John F. Kennedy with a mole. But I saw through the guy like right away, okay? Well, Perry would come along. He'd get rid of the John Edwards in Texas. I guess they'd have to move back to Brooklyn where they all came from. That's what would have to happen. Sparks, Nevada. John, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, I need to tell you that I grew up in Detroit, Michigan, and my dad went to the Henry Ford Trade School back in the 20s and 30s, and so I can relate to all the old stories you tell. But he said that back then he fought with Jimmy Hoffa because if you look at the boss the wrong way, you'd be fired. So they all got together, and it was the union was something that was desperately needed.
Well, let's pause. I said the same thing. Didn't I tell you that I spoke to a truck driver who told me the good that unions did in addition to the corruption and the graft? There was a lot of good that filtered down to the truck driver. I said that yesterday.
Yes, and it's just such a shame that the pendulum has swung so far.
What, that we have a guy like Hoffa Jr. trying to smear the union like this with his outrageous behavior attacking tea parties? Of course it's crazy.
Savage.
And now, ladies and gentlemen of the Savage Nation, something that only I can provide for you, because it's about, well, 10 years ago, 9/11/01, that we were attacked by Islamic fascists. I know we're not allowed to say that. We're supposed to assume it was flying nuns who hijacked the airplanes. But it wasn't flying nuns. It wasn't high rabbis. It was Islamo-fascists wed to their religion. In the most fanatical way, who did this to us on 9/11/01. And I went on the air with my reaction to it. I called it our Pearl Harbor at that time. I was the first to do so. I'm going to play this for you now in its entirety, unedited. And then I want you to listen to it. And I want to ask yourself, did I abuse my power on that day? Did I say anything on that day of infamy on 9/11/01 that was wrong? Let's listen. United States of America. The radical Muslim world has declared war on America. We are at war. We are at war. Attention, America. This is your Pearl Harbor. This is your Pearl Harbor. In the World Trade Center today, a World Trade Center that no longer exists, demolished by two hijacked airliners, taken over by radical Muslims. Ladies and gentlemen, you will never forget this day as long as you live. It is time for you to come out of your sleep. It is time for you to put your hats on forward. It is time for you to throw your pornography in a bonfire. It is time for you to turn off your sports. It is time for you to turn off your entertainment. You will not have a nation unless you awaken and stand up like a man. What can be done? I want to remind you that we are at war. We do not know the exact count of fatalities at the World Trade Center. As you well know, radical Muslims hijacked these two planes. In fact, on the web right now, we have intelligence
that two connected to Bin Laden sent over private airwaves. We hit two targets. We hit two targets. Those two targets, of course, are the World Trade Center in New York City, no longer existent. I'm going to remind you that the United States went to war when Pearl Harbor was attacked, when 2,800 or 2,700 or 2,900 boys were killed by the Japanese. Ladies and gentlemen, what will it take for this country to close the borders, to reassert English as our language, to stop the flood of asylees from every garbage can in the world? This is the result of a weakened nation. Ladies and gentlemen, we are at war. What must be done? Where are Bush and Cheney? What emergency steps are you taking? 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number on the Savage Nation. This is a day that will live in infamy, but I want to tell you this. Many of you are frightened in the false assumption that terrorism cannot be fought against. That is the wrong assumption. It is the wrong conclusion. That is what you're going to hear from the defeatists. I want to remind everyone listening to Michael Savage that Japan's kamikaze attacks ended only after Truman dropped two atomic bombs on Japan. I will repeat that. Kamikazes never act on their own. They are financed, they are trained, and they are supplied by governments. Kamikazes do not act on their own. Japan's kamikaze attacks ended only after we dropped two atomic bombs on their homeland. We must atomize their training camps. We must atomize their training camps now. And I am not the only one who knows this. Congressman Rohrbacher from Orange County, California, this morning was furious. He had been trying to warn the morons at the highest level for months now that this was coming. And they called him a right-wing maniac. They ridiculed Rohrbacher. They dismissed him as a right-wing nut. Maybe you've dismissed me as a right-wing nut. When I've been telling you for years, close the borders. Where do you think the terrorists came from? How do you think they got into our country? You morons, I've been telling you that ultra-tolerance is killing us. Well, the day has come. This is your Pearl Harbor. You're going to live with it just as I am. I am telling you that this is a direct result of ultra-tolerance. This is a direct result of open borders. This is a direct result of a politically corrected society that is afraid to call what it is. Everybody knows who did this. Everybody knows who's behind this. Everybody knows what must be done. Where is Bush? Where is Cheney? What emergency steps are you taking? What emergency steps are you taking now that we are at war? Do you have any idea what is going on? Do you have any idea what has happened to your country? Do you know that your life will never be the same? Are you aware that your comfort level has changed forever? Do you comprende, amigo? We are at war. I've been trying to stop this. I've been telling you about it. I've been warning you about it. Dateline, Cairo, Egypt, today. Bullseye says Egyptians as they celebrate anti-U.S. attacks. Egyptian students, taxi drivers, shopkeepers celebrating in Cairo. Bullseye commented two of them as they watched footage of the Twin Towers of your World Trade Center shrouded in plumes of smoke. Another Egyptian man told AFP he was pleased with the wave of violence in which another plane crashed into the Pentagon in Washington. Nice work, said Abdel Karim, who drives a car for an Asian embassy. He said, and I quote, "The Americans have forgotten that God exists. They have us by the throat, and now they find themselves in a science fiction film scenario, but this time Rambo's not there to save the White House." Ladies and gentlemen, Abdel Karim hailed the attacks as the best thing that's happened since the October war. Egyptian is considered an ally of the United States. Egyptian is considered one of the moderate countries in the Middle East. Khalil Matar, 43, who works in a state-run soap factory, said, "The Americans are cowards. They use other countries to hit us. They don't have the courage to meet us face-to-face. The myth of the indestructible United States has gone up in smoke." What about the women of Egypt? Compassion? Let's listen to Polytechnic student Amira Riyad, who said, "We saw the World Trade Tower crash down," referring, of course, to the towers going down. She said, quote, "I only wish U.S. President George Bush and his dear little baby, Ariel Sharon, had been buried in there, too. There are your moderate Arabs." Where is the muscular reaction? Where are the men of America? Where is the leadership of America? Next, we're going to hear that we're going to get counselors going out so you can get on your hands and knees and pray. They'll tell you what color ribbon to put on.
Well, there you have it. That was one from the heart, from yours truly, from 9/11/01. Looking back, did I abuse my power? Looking back, did I say anything on that day of infamy that was wrong? What did you just think of that broadcast is the question. 1-800-449-8255. Let's start in Texas. Houston, Tom, go ahead, please. What do you think of that replay?
I loved it, not only in retrospect 10 years later, but I would have felt the same way on the day and did feel what you expressed were exactly my feelings. I was in Singapore at the time, and I was called up to my hotel room, and I saw both of the, well, I saw the second tower. But anyway, no, you didn't step out of bounds. Matter of fact, the ultra tolerance is out of bounds, and it still is out of bounds. So I agree.
Yeah, right. In other words, the whole concept of massive, massive numbers of immigrants, unscreened, coming in from Mexico in particular, many of whom are of Muslim descent. We know that they're changing their appearances at the border, one report after another, yet Homeland Security looks the other way and calls anyone who wants to stop them every name under the sun. So in many ways, we are not more safe today. I think we've lost most of our freedoms as a result of this. The real losers here are the American people. We have given up. Remember what I just said in that speech from 10 years ago, that your comfort level will never be the same. Your life has changed forever. Take a look at the America today and tell me that Osama bin Laden didn't win. We're living in a police state as a result of those attacks. I would say that we suffered more than the Arab world has suffered from those attacks, wouldn't you?
I would say we had a lot to lose, and we're starting to lose more, and I agree with you. And I think that it's all coming home to roost, and it's
yeah, but it's the thing is this. Power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. That was said by the Great Britain Lord Acton. Power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. And both governments, Bush, Cheney, now Obama, Biden, have aggrandized more and more power to themselves by enacting more and more restrictions on Americans in terms of travel, communications, etc. And that is because Osama bin Laden has actually won. I'm going to send you a copy of Abuse of Power because I have been banned from entering Britain. I'm the only member of the American media, whether you know it or not, who was put on a list with murderers and terrorists because I dared say the very same things that I am saying to you today a number of years ago. And the British, who apparently are now owned by, well, let us say some big oil money owns the British government, they said I am not allowed to enter their country. Well, it's their loss, not mine. New York, WOR. Rick, go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to say on the morning of 9/11, I was off. I'm a fireman, recently retired, New York City fireman. I actually rode my bicycle into work because the traffic was so jammed up. I knew I would need to get an alternate way to get in. Naturally, I didn't get to hear your broadcast that day, but I want to tell you, you just have your finger on the pulse. So I just finished reading your book, Trickle Up Poverty, but just hearing what you had to say that day, there was not one iota of falsehood to it. I mean, everything was right
well,
on the money.
I want to say, look, I took a big risk in digging this tape up because people said a lot of things that day. I don't think, looking back, I said anything that was wrong factually, number one. Number two, I'm actually proud of every word I said on 9/11/01. I have no idea how many other people in the broadcast world still have their tapes of that day. I didn't write this script. This is one from the heart. And I say I live by every word that I just said. Close the borders. Close the borders. Close the borders before it's too late. I'm sending you a copy of Abuse of Power. When I come back on the Savage Nation, we'll have another amazing piece of sound that you will not believe dating back 10 years right here on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
I'm as happy as can be.
This was secretly recorded in the White House on an open mic. They didn't know that it was being recorded right after the job speech. Before the trip to the tennis court. Look, I got to lighten it up a little bit. I can't get too dire about it all. Yeah, so we got hit on 9/11. Yes, so we wound up with a police state. Yes, we're the big losers, not the Arab world. Yes, Obama's the most corrupt president and the most incompetent in American history. Yes, the Arab Spring is a lie. It's actually the Arab Age of Darkness descending upon the world. But what can you do about it? There's very little you can do about it. Both parties are either asleep, and I would say they're not so much asleep as so driven by greed, so driven with stealing as much as they can, as fast as they can from the public treasury, that they don't even know there's a nation called America. Oh, they throw it to us once in a while. They wave the flag every time there's an election. But for a minute, I don't believe for a second any of those top politicians love this country. I believe it's you and I who really have a lot at stake and love the country. I'm still a Boy Scout. I can't help it. It's the way I see the country. I don't think they do. Some of them do. The ones who fought in Iraq, Afghanistan, they're not the only ones I trust, truthfully. And some of the old-timers that I have on the show, I know I can trust them. The rest, not at all. And that's why we're in trouble. So when I hear all this malarkey about 9/11 with the flags and the waving and the this and the that, all they're doing is covering their own behinds and justifying their own budgets. And frankly, this overkill of the police presence is unnecessary. If they were to treat the problem rather than the symptoms, we wouldn't need all of these armed goons running around with machine guns in the streets of New York right now. If they were to stop this flood of immigrants coming into this country, if they were to screen the immigrants raging around our country without papers, they would not need to be running around with machine guns intimidating your daughter. Okay? This is an example of bad doctoring, treating the symptoms rather than treating the disease. The disease is occurring at the borders. But the disease actually occurs first in the mindset of the elites who run this country, who think that more immigrants is better for America, when in fact the opposite is true. But that's a whole separate topic. I played for you my tape from 9/11/01. I think it was very good. I have something else for you. Here is firefighter Mike Moran at the concert for New York, right after his friends were found dead in the ashes of the World Trade Center. Now, this is one that you'll never forget. Listen.
Our friends, our neighbors, our relatives, they are not gone because they are not forgotten. And I want to say one more thing. Osama bin Laden, you can kiss my Royal Irish ass.
See, now there's America. That's the core of America right there. These are the guys who have always come to the aid of the country, that mentality, that attitude. In other words, that's the Tea Party you just heard. That's the Tea Party hated by the Congressional Black Caucus. That's the sound of the Tea Party hated by Biden. That's the sound of the Tea Party hated by Obama. That's the sound of the Tea Party hated by the Teamsters. That's the sound of America you just heard. Believe me, I know what I'm talking about. I know just what I'm talking about. Make no mistake about it. Let's go to Marcia in Tennessee. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
Go ahead, please. What's your comment?
Well, I'd like to comment. I've been listening to you for about 6 months. Before this, I used to listen to the guy with blackboards, and you're so enlightening, educational, bringing people up to date, very informative on the topics that need to be discussed and tell.
Good. Well, oh, no, I appreciate it, and I'm glad that you called, and I am giving you a free copy of my novel, Abuse of Power, anyway. I mean, of course I want to hear that kind of thing. Chicago, Carmine, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Michael, I just wanted to call and tell you that I received your book today, and I just can't put it down. I was reading Brad Thor's Full Black, and I had to put it aside. I was so tickled when I went to the mailbox. I'm already on page 100, and I'm on chapter 12. But
so, in other words, you put down one of the most famous fiction thriller writers in order to pick up Abuse of Power, and you can't put it down. That's quite a compliment.
Yes, and laugh. Oh, you have. Oh, Michael, it's it's like you're talking to me, you know, and people need to, you know, they
so,
really...
No, I'm serious. Do you see me in any of the book? Do you see any of Savage coming through there, through some of the characters?
Pardon me?
Do you see do you see any of what you hear on this radio show resonating through the characters in Abuse of Power?
Yes, yes. And I've had your book on order since July 22nd, so I'll be getting another one.
I got to tell you, thanks for telling me that. That's very good news, because if you're a Brad Thor reader and you love reading Abuse of Power, that means that other thriller readers are going to find it on their own, and that means I don't have to tell you any more about it on the Savage Nation. So that's very good news. I mean, look, the fact of the matter is that a book has to sell on its own. Let me just tell you that right now. Of course I'm excited. Of course I'll talk about it next week when it's launched, but I'm not going to do it ad infinitum. Either you're going to like it and it's going to sell on its own merits, or it's not. That's all there is to it. I'm not going to do this the rest of my life. That's all. I want you to pick it up, read it, and if you love it, tell your friends about it. Somerset, PA. Todd, welcome to the Savage Nation.
I heard your 9/11 speech for the first time today. I'm a new listener, and I just wish you would play that maybe once a week or once a month to remind everyone.
Well, Todd, you know what I'm going to do is I'm going to play it again on Monday on 9/12, and let's pray to God that something horrible doesn't happen on 9/11 owing to the open borders and the ultra-tolerance of this administration, which follows on the heels of that of the Bush administration. A free copy of Abuse of Power goes out to you. When I return, more of Michael Savage from 9/11/01.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Secretly recorded of the president right after a speech last night on the way to the golf course. It was recorded in a golf cart by his caddy, Hush Big Paw, a Republican. Let's listen in. It is the Savage Nation. It's Rock and Roll Friday. I know it's supposed to be somber, and I am off and on a little bit. But the fact of the matter is the barbarians are not only at the gates, they're through the gates. They attacked us on 9/11/01. I mean, if they weren't barbarians, who are? The Tea Party? It seems to me that the hatred that the unions have and Obama has and Biden has for the Tea Party is somewhat misdirected. I would rather hear the hatred about the barbarians who attacked us on 9/11, wouldn't you? And yet we hear attacks upon the middle class. The Tea Parties are the middle class, after all. They're not strangers to us. They're you, they're I, they're your neighbor. Who is the Tea Party that they hate so much? Why, they're the taxpayers who have finally said enough is enough. So naturally, the welfare cheats and those who represent the trial lawyers, those who represent government pension stealers, those who represent the solar companies that got $500 million in stimulus funds, of course they hate the Tea Parties because we're on to them. So you're doing something right. But let's focus now on our real enemy. Our real enemy are not the Democrats. Our real enemy are not the Democrats. Our enemy is not Obama. Our enemy is not Biden. Our enemy is not the Union. Our enemy is the Islamo-fascist who is plotting to destroy our civilization. And if only this country could come together once again and remember that we do have a common enemy. The problem is that we have an administration sympathetic to the common enemy, and I don't know how else to put it. It's a soft sympathy at that, but it's a sympathy. And it's a very dangerous road that they're towing. And I don't like it very much. I'd rather see that the hatred coming from the White House, from Axelrod, be directed where it should be directed, which is at the Islamo-fascists, not at the Tea Party here in America. And having given you this overview to the Savage Nation, I'd like to take a couple of calls, and then I'm going to play for you Michael Savage from 9/11/01, the speech I gave. And again, I'm going to ask you, looking back, did I say anything on that day of infamy that was wrong? If I did, I want to hear from you. You can tell your friends it's going to be played, and let us see what's happening. Let's take a couple of callers right now. San Antonio, Alina, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, it's an honor to speak with you. I just want to let you know that I totally agree with every word you said. Nothing that you said was wrong. It's actually the truth, and that's why maybe some people are...
Well, I think there was a great prophet who said, know the truth because the truth shall set you free. At least that's the way it used to be in a free society. Today, of course, it can get you on a list, a wanted list, and ban you from a country that gave us the Magna Carta, which is no longer run by the English. Stay on the line. A free copy of Abuse of Power goes out to you and everyone else who gets on the show today. Chicago, Andy, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, what I shut my eyes listening to your speech, and it was just your anger. We're not allowed to get angry anymore. You're one of the few that was angry when it happened. And you're still one of the few that are angry now. And we become angry now. We're bigots. We're racist. And in doing that, we let our 10-year-old girls get fondled at the airport. We let them build a mosque, or at least try to build a mosque, on the very ground that 9/11 was at. And
Amen.
We're not allowed to get angry about that now.
Well, no, only the head of the union could get angry. Only Biden could get angry. Only the president could get angry. Only everyone who was on the other side of the table could get angry. But we're not allowed. Hey, I don't buy it. But what I'm saying here is something a little different right now, Andy. I really wish to God there was a way for me to bring people together instead of drive them apart. Because there's got to be a unification in this country or we're finished. A house divided cannot stand, as you well know. And for us to get pulled into this game of Democrat, Republican, Obama versus Boehner, Obama versus Cantor, Tea Party versus Union is a disaster for this country. It's exactly what the Islamo-fascist is counting on. A house divided cannot stand. We need to come together in this country. And remember, we have a common enemy. The common enemy is the Islamo-fascist. He has not gone away. Although Osama bin Laden was killed, his lieutenants have never gone away. That is an absolute reality, Andy. Stay in the line. A free copy of Abuse of Power goes out to you. And for those of you who missed it, we're going to play a piece for you right now from 9/11/01. What I said back then, right now, 10 years later. Tell me what you think of it. Ladies and gentlemen of the United States of America, the radical Muslim world has declared war on America. We are at war. We are at war. Attention, America. This is your Pearl Harbor. This is your Pearl Harbor. In the World Trade Center today, a World Trade Center that no longer exists, demolished by two hijacked airliners, taken over by radical Muslims. Ladies and gentlemen, you will never forget this day as long as you live. It is time for you to come out of your sleep. It is time for you to put your hats on forward. It is time for you to throw your pornography in a bonfire. It is time for you to turn off your sports. It is time for you to turn off your entertainment. You will not have a nation unless you awaken and stand up like a man. What can be done? I want to remind you that we are at war. We do not know the exact count of fatalities. At the World Trade Center, as you well know, radical Muslims hijacked these two planes. In fact, on the web right now, we have intelligence that two connected to bin Laden said over private airwaves, we hit two targets. We hit two targets. Those two targets, of course, are the World Trade Center in New York City, no longer existent. I'm going to remind you that the United States went to war when Pearl Harbor was attacked.
when 2,800 or 2,700 or 2,900 boys were killed by the Japanese. Ladies and gentlemen, what will it take for this country to close the borders, to reassert English as our language, to stop the flood of asylees from every garbage can in the world? This is the result of a weakened nation. Ladies and gentlemen, we are at war. What must be done? Where are Bush and Cheney? What emergency steps are you taking? 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number on the Savage Nation. This is a day that will live in infamy, but I want to tell you this. Many of you are frightened in the false assumption that terrorism cannot be fought against. That is the wrong assumption. It is the wrong conclusion. That is what you're going to hear from the defeatists. I want to remind everyone listening to Michael Savage that Japan's kamikaze attacks ended only after Truman dropped two atomic bombs on Japan. I will repeat that. Kamikazes never act on their own. They are financed, they are trained, and they are supplied by governments. Kamikazes do not act on their own. Japan's kamikaze attacks ended only after we dropped two atomic bombs on their homeland. We must atomize their training camps. We must atomize their training camps now. And I am not the only one who knows this. Congressman Rohrbacher from Orange County, California, this morning was furious. He had been trying to warn the morons at the highest level for months now that this was coming. And they called him a right-wing maniac. They ridiculed Rohrbacher. They dismissed him as a right-wing nut. Maybe you've dismissed me as a right-wing nut. When I've been telling you for years, close the borders. Where do you think the terrorists came from? How do you think they got into our country? You morons, I've been telling you that ultra-tolerance is killing us. Well, the day has come. This is your Pearl Harbor. You're going to live with it just as I am. I am telling you that this is a direct result of ultra-tolerance. This is a direct result of open borders. This is a direct result of a politically corrected society that is afraid to call what it is it is. Everybody knows who did this. Everybody knows who's behind this. Everybody knows what must be done. Where is Bush? Where is Cheney? What emergency steps are you taking? What emergency steps are you taking now that we are at war? Do you have any idea what is going on? Do you have any idea what has happened to your country? Do you know that your life will never be the same? Are you aware that your comfort level has changed forever? Do you comprende, amigo? We are at war. I've been trying to stop this. I've been telling you about it. I've been warning you about it. Dateline, Cairo, Egypt, today. Bullseye says Egyptians as they celebrate anti-U.S. attacks. Egyptian students, taxi drivers, shopkeepers celebrating in Cairo. Bullseye commented two of them as they watched footage of the Twin Towers of your World Trade Center shrouded in plumes of smoke. Another Egyptian man told AFP he was pleased with the wave of violence in which another plane crashed into the Pentagon in Washington. Nice work, said Abdel Karim, who drives a car for an Asian embassy. He said, and I quote, "The Americans have forgotten that God exists. They have us by the throat, and now they find themselves in a science fiction film scenario, but this time Rambo's not there to save the White House." Ladies and gentlemen, Abdel Karim hailed the attacks as the best thing that's happened since the October War. Egyptian is considered an ally of the United States. Egyptian is considered one of the moderate countries in the Middle East. Khalil Matar, 43, who works in a state-run soap factory, said, "The Americans are cowards. They use other countries to hit us. They don't have the courage to meet us face-to-face. The myth of the indestructible United States has gone up in smoke." What about the women of Egypt? Compassion? Let's listen to Polytechnic student Amira Riyad, who said, "We saw the World Trade Tower crash down," referring, of course, to the towers going down. She said, quote, "I only wish U.S. President George Bush and his dear little baby, Ariel Sharon, had been buried in there, too. There are your moderate Arabs." Where is the muscular reaction? Where are the men of America? Where is the leadership of America? Next, we're going to hear that we're going to get counselors going out so you can get on your hands and knees and pray. They'll tell you what color ribbon to put on.
that Rammstein? Is that what I asked? Oh, that sounds... Oh, it's a Rammstein bump. I'm sorry. So, as you well know, one of the funniest men on the planet is Prince Charles, a man born into, royalhood, never worked a day in his life, and the man is a complete lunatic. My father, who was an anti-royalist from childhood, told me that Prince Charles, with his large ears, was a product of inbreeding. I didn't quite understand it till I studied biology. Now the dimbulb Prince Charles is warning the human race of the sixth extinction event. And he said that we cannot survive unless, I guess, we have to stop doing certain things. And he said, despite global warming, blah, 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 we're all going to die, he said, unless we change our business as usual course. And he said, Earth's vital biodiversity, once it disappears, we disappear, blah, blah, blah. Alluding to his spiritual connection to nature, the big-eared prince said mankind must also protect other species from extinction. Now, some of what he says, of course, is baby talk, and true, though. I mean, we all want to protect animals. However, if he really believes this, why doesn't he give up his Rolls Royce and his royal yacht and his royal plane and go to work like a regular man? I mean, then I would believe a word he has to say. But instead of worrying about the sixth extinction event from global warming, the prince ought to worry about the radical Muslims who have taken over England, who hold up signs such as, say, death to the queen, Sharia law, blah, blah, blah. But he doesn't. Instead, he worries about things such as global warming because it carries no political danger to do so. And that explains exactly why the environmentalists in this country are all so dangerous. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm a conservationist and have been all my life. I have read my Aristotle. I know it's all about airs, waters, and places. I have spent a good portion of my life protecting sensitive jungles, which they now call rainforests. My collections of rare plants are in 6 or 7 botanical museums around the world, which is more than I can say about Al Gore. My plant collections are even in England, which I'm not allowed to visit. The Kew Gardens, one of the greatest plant collections on earth, my rare plant collections. So I do know about the environment. Of course, the word environment is so loaded, I call myself a conservationist. Having said all of that, no, we're not worried so much about global warming as we should be worried about global extremism coming from the radical Muslim world. And when we see a president so sold down the wrong road, either by his own wishful thinking or by advisors like Jimmy Carter, Zbigniew Brzezinski, etc., and that gang, funded, of course, by George Soros, who are telling us that the overthrow of Mubarak, the overthrow of Gaddafi would lead us to an Arab Spring, when the exact opposite is appearing right before our eyes, we realize what danger we are in with such a lack of foresight and such a lack of knowledge of reality. And so we, the people, are stuck with ourselves, aren't we? Sacramento, Ralph, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Michael, good to speak to you. I just wanted to thank you for, I've never had goosebumps run all the way down the middle of my back before as I did when I heard you speak.
You mean the 9/11 replay? You liked it that much, Ralph?
I sure did.
Well, guess what, Ralph? It's as relevant today as it was then, 10 years later. But apparently now we're being told by Muslim pressure groups that we can't use the word Muslim associated with 9/11 anymore. Well, you know what I say to them? Exactly what firefighter Mike Moran said to them. Only I'm not Irish. Stay on the line. We'll send you a copy of Abuse of Power, and we'll play firefighter Mike Moran's famous speech again right here on the Savage Nation. Be here, be here, be here, or be nowhere.
Savage.
So we all know 9/11 is coming up on Sunday. I played you my 9/11-01 speech twice now on the show. What we have for you now is something that you'll never forget what I'm about to play for you. Beowulf, my producer, founded on NPR. It is a radical, liberal professor of psychology at the Department of Medicine, University of California, Irvine, Roxanne Cohen-Silver, telling people not to watch images of 9/11 because it'll be bad for them. You're just a bunch of children, basically, who need to be drugged and watch more sports, play golf, listen to the president's speech, anything but look at the reality. You're not going to believe it, but here it comes. Listen.
We can appreciate the heroism of many people in the aftermath of 9/11, and I think we can do all of that respectfully this weekend. I think that we can do that without reliving, without reactivating the feelings, if we are not continuously exposed to the graphic images of that day. So I think that we can do...
Let's stop for a minute. See, this fool is exactly what's wrong with America. It's precisely by reactivating the feelings of 9/11 that will save us from another 9/11. But to tell a fat, middle-aged psychologist, obviously, who's been brainwashed her entire life with liberal gibberish, that reactivating feelings is not always bad, is like telling my dog to become an eagle. You want to hear the rest of it? Go ahead, listen.
If we are not continuously exposed to the graphic images of that day. So I think that we can have a commemoration and we can have a respectful memorial, and we don't need to see the pictures again.
No, dirty pictures are good, though. Pictures of boys and girls and pictures of men and women and pictures of men and men and pictures of women and women. Any sexual pictures are good for you, though, because if your sexuality is repressed, you wind up sick. So therefore, why not do it in the road? Walk around naked, sit in restaurants naked in San Francisco. Anything along those lines, that type of graphic imagery is perfectly fine. But graphic imagery of the Islamo-fascist attack upon us on 9/11/01, that is bad for your mind. That's no-no, boys and girls. That's the view of the crazed profession, the crazed amongst the profession of psychology. They're not all crazed, don't get me wrong. This is a crazo. Roxanne Cohen-Silva needs a shrink. In my opinion, she needs a good therapist, this one, because she's only NPR could have this woman on and take her seriously. So that's why I played it for you. Now, I want to hear you. I'm going to play something now to excite your images and your memory of firefighter Mike Moran at the Concert for New York back on 9/11/01 with the right attitude about the Islamo-fascists. Listen to 08.
Our friends, our neighbors, our relatives, they are not gone because they are not forgotten. And I want to say one more thing. Osama bin Laden, you can kiss my Royal Irish ass.
Somehow it brings a smile to my lips while listening to Roxanne Cohen-Silva. I don't get the same reaction. Let's put it to you that way. And let me ask you another question. Let's put it another way that maybe you can understand it. If we were in a fighting war with an enemy, would it be Roxanne Cohen-Silva and her cohorts who would go to war and save us? Or would it be the ancestors and the descendants of Mike Moran? Shall I put it to you another way so you finally get it crystal clear? I could put it to you 10 different ways till you finally understand the danger we are in from the psychosis of liberalism. But I've written book after book upon it. And frankly, I think that the show, while it has grown, the country has died. I think the country has gotten much worse than it was 10 years ago. That doesn't mean I'm going to change my pitch. It doesn't mean I'm going to suddenly move to the center. I think the only solution is to move further to the right. I personally think the only thing that could save us, well, let's put it this way. We'll play a clip for you right now from a man named Barry Goldwater, which is so stirring that I used it as an introduction or a dedication to my book, Abusive Power. Do we have it ready, guys? Because it's so good, it's unbelievable. Let's play it. Listen to this one. Oh, one moment. I could paraphrase it, but it's okay. Take your time. I call for things at the last minute on the show. This is a totally spontaneous program in most part. Go ahead, play it.
I would remind you that extremism in the defense of liberty is no vice.
Amen.
And let me remind you also that moderation in the pursuit of justice is no virtue.
See, now he was my choice for president. he got robbed. The vote was robbed from him. It was jury rigged and stolen from him. But he would have been a great president. I was a very young guy, but even then I knew he was the right man for the country at the time. And unfortunately, the Republicans stole it from him and gave it to some stooge. I think Nixon. I'm not quite sure. I don't remember. But the fact of the matter is, I resonated with Goldwater and Goldwater's words to the extent that right now, here I am, probably older than Goldwater was when he was running for the presidency now. I mean, life, years move on, boys and girls. Your parents were right when they said, the years just fly by. Let me tell you, they fly by. And you look back, you say, where'd they go? Anyway, here I am sitting, and I'm telling you, his words are so true. Extremism in the defense of liberty is no vice. And moderation in defense is no virtue. He's right. He's 100% right. And I dedicated, I wrote in a dedication in Abuse of Power, a novel quoting Barry Goldwater to show you that his words are just so meaningful to me today. Certainly not the words of Roxanne Cohen Silva, who says, don't you dare look at the images from 9/11 because you're liable to get upset. Don't reactivate the images. And don't reactivate the images of Pearl Harbor. Don't reactivate the images of the Holocaust. Don't reactivate the images of the Middle Ages. Don't reactivate any images of reality. Only images of pornography are permitted to the psychologists of today. I disagree, Miss Silver. I believe watching the images should be mandatory in our schools. I believe that only by training our children to the realities of our world can we ever survive, or we won't even be here as a nation, not in 50 years, but in 20 years. I woke up yesterday and saw an article that China has built 3,000 miles of underground tunnels with nuclear weapons aimed at the United States of America. 3,000 miles of underground tunnels, while our fat generals, all of whom are just looking forward to their fat contracting jobs as they live on their pensions after they leave the military, have been traveling to China telling us what a wonderful nation it is, opening up our facilities, our submarines, our airplanes, opening up our most secret facilities to the Chinese who come here smiling and kowtowing, taking pictures, snap, snap. And then we go there, you know what we get pictures of? We get pictures of the waitresses behind. The generals are shown the back door of the restaurant that they just stayed in. That's what they get in return. But they don't say anything because they're told by the defense secretary to not rock the boat. Don't shake the boat or you won't get your contracting job when you get out. You won't get your pension when you get out. You won't work for Kissinger and Associates when you get out. You won't work for every one of the other State Department wonks who go to work for China when they get out. That's the trouble we're in right now, ladies and gentlemen. It's far worse than you think. The time is later than you think, and only by becoming more extreme can we survive it all. That's my opinion. What's yours? Adrian, New York on WOR. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, two statements. First of all, thank you so much for the show yesterday, an incredible show. I urge you, please, to do shows like that every time the president speaks. It was an incredible show.
Oh, you mean when I spoke over the president's insipid speech?
An incredible, incredible show. Unfortunately, one of the local stations cut you off because they wanted to broadcast it. I somehow found you online and listened to it. It was riveting.
Oh, that's what got cut off. No, it was a brilliant technique I developed many years ago. I guess they wanted respect for the president. They didn't want the Michael Savage commentary over the president. Well, it's too bad because that's one of the best things I've ever done. And it was copied by Groucho Marx's grandson, who works on the competitive station in New York, the one who sounds like Groucho Marx's grandmother getting a hysterectomy without anesthesia. He copied it. May believe he did it, you know. Stay on the line, Adrian. A copy of Abuse of Power going out to you. Anyone else thinks the images should be hidden and only pornography shown to Americans? Porno, okay. American Psychology Association says porno good for people, but images of 9/11 bad. Images of Pearl Harbor bad. Images of World War II bad. Only porn is good. Porn is healthful. It's good. Take your drugs, boys and girls. Take your medication. Don't look at 9/11 as though it's real. You're liable to get upset. How do I keep my sanity when all about me are losing theirs and blaming it on me, huh? Oh, yeah, that's a great poem. If, by Rudyard Kipling, if you can keep your head when all those around you are losing theirs and blaming it on you, then you'll be a man, my son. I really live by the words of the poem, If, another poem that was banned by the liberal establishment in Britain, by the way. Not exactly banned at the time, but he was one of the greatest poets in British history, by the way, Rudyard Kipling. But once liberalism infected the body politic and the mindset of the British people, Rudyard Kipling fell into the outs because he was considered too much of a warmonger by talking about what everyone really knows to be the truth. So you have to live with what you want to live with. Tony in New York on WOR. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Mike. I just wanted to say that I'm so glad that you replayed your telecast from 9/11/01 because I remember being glued to the radio and the TV and all of the media suits, you know, their plastic personas talking about what was happening that day. You were the only one that expressed the outrage of that attack, and that's what real Americans were feeling. And I'm so sick.
Wait, are you saying, Tony, are you saying you heard the speech that day, or you just heard it today replayed?
No, I just heard it today, and it was so refreshing.
Well, you know, I'm glad the guys found it. My production team is amazing, but they found it, and they said, maybe you should play it. And I said, well, is it any good? They said, well, listen to it. And I said, well, it's real. At least the audience who's new to the Savage Nation can hear that what they actually hear is not made up. I mean, that was real then, as I'm real now. You know, I mean, what you hear is what you get. A lot of people don't know that I am exactly what they hear. They think it's all, you know, fabricated for the show because they want to dismiss me. But they can't dismiss reality. That's the bottom line here, Tony. Stay in the line. I'm sending you something you can't dismiss, which is the next best-selling fiction hardcover book in America. It's called Abuse of Power. I'll be right back.
Savage.
So here's a funny story. Mel Gibson is doing a movie about the Maccabees, you know, the early Jewish warriors, which is probably a good thing. He's a great filmmaker, and he wants to make amends to the Jewish community. Of course, you know, you could look at it another way. I think it's a good idea because he's a great filmmaker, and that's enough for me. But that's not good enough for Rabbi Martin Hamavin Haya, the dean and founder of the Seaman Wiesenthal Center. He said, casting him as a director or perhaps as the star of Judah Maccabee is like casting Madoff to be the head of the Securities and Exchange Commission. You know what, Heyer? I wrote to you, Heyer, after I was banned in Britain, and you know what I got back from you? Nothing. You're a phony. You're a hypocrite. I don't believe a word you say. All you're trying to do is shake him down for a part in the movie. You want to get some production credits? I can't stand these professionals. I don't care if they're professional politicians, lawyers, or professional religious figures. They're all full of crap. They're in it for the money. And not to be outdone is ADL director Abraham Foxman. He also chimed in. He said, it would be a travesty to have the story of the Maccabees told by one who has no respect and sensitivity for other people's religious views. Go to you know where, Foxman. You're another two-bit phony. I wrote to you and you did nothing for me. Who the heck are you to tell Mel Gibson what kind of movie? We're all full of crap. They're in it for the money. Okay? Did I clear the air? Good. I'll get the ramifications from this, from Heyer and from Foxman. Maybe I'll get a letter back from them now. They were nowhere when I needed them. We begged them to intervene in England. They did nothing for me. They're exactly the type to look to you. How's that? Horrible, 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 the hypocrisy. It's unbelievable, the hypocrisy in this country. They're telling Mel Gibson that he can't make a movie, but they own the Maccabee story? They own the Bible. That's unbelievable to me. The heads is overwhelming.
Anti-Defamation League director Abraham Foxman, Rabbi Marvin Heyer, the dean of the Simon Wiesenthal Center, say yet no to Mel Gibson doing a movie about a Jew. We own it. You own it. You don't own the Maccabees. You don't own the Maccabees at all. He can do what he wants. It's a free country. Who said they have to go through you to do something about a Jew? How about when a Jew came to you for help and you looked the other way because there was nothing in it for you? Mr. Heyer and Mr. Foxman, where were you when people needed you? Nowhere. Okay, you want to get me started on this issue, boy. You'll get me going.
Good luck to you, Mel Gibson. Make the movie. You'll do a better job than Foxman's friends could do. That's just to show you what I think about professionals in various industries. Mel Gibson's involvement in a film about the legendary Jewish warrior Judah Maccabee was taking heat from Jewish groups Friday. I would say that the ADL speaks for Jews the same way the Congressional Black Caucus speaks for conservative black Republicans. Who said that they represent Jewish people? Whoever said the ADL represents Jewish people? Do you know any Jews who actually have ever met Abe Foxman? Has he ever polled you? Has Abe Foxman ever asked you as a Jew? Actually, I don't even think I have Jews who listen to the show. I don't know anymore. I know this. I'll tell you this. Maybe I have percentage-wise, very, very small percentage. They're all welcome. This is a multicultural show, and people are welcome from all walks of life. But believe me, the majority of my audience understands what a fair-minded man I am. And when I see these two busybodies telling Mel Gibson what kind of movie he can make and can't make because the Maccabees happen to be ancient Jewish figures, what right do these people hire and Foxman have to tell him he can't make a movie? Why? Because he got drunk and he said something anti-Semitic? I'd like to hear what Foxman says when he gets drunk behind closed doors. I'd like to hear Marvin Hayer what he has to say after... Chicago, Ron, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, how are you today, Michael?
If you don't know by now, if you don't know how I am today by now, I can't help you.
I know how you are, and I know how I am. But I just want to mention, I think that what happened on 9/11 should be required teaching in high school forever. So
do I. Absolutely, it should be in the textbooks. But instead... the textbooks are showing America as the aggressor because they're being written by America-hating, psychobabbler leftists. Stay on the line. You're getting a free copy of Abuse of Power. Tucson, Dan, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hey,
Dan, go ahead. Go ahead, Dan. Fire away.
I'd like to say, first of all, I've been listening to your show for a few years now. I've always wanted to call in. I was laughing through your last few comments because I'm a Jewish soldier, you know, in the United States Army. And,
oh, wow. Hey, welcome to the show.
I got to agree with you.
I mean, here we have degradation of Italians with movies like The Godfather, degradation of Italians with the TV series The Sopranos, the stereotype about blacks as being all members of the hoodies, and we have to put up with it, but when what? Suddenly a movie's about Jewish warriors who some might see as terrorists. We're not supposed to let them make the movie. Why? Because it hasn't gone through Marvin Hayer?
You know what? It's the exact same problem with them saying that you should not be watching videos of 9/11. It's the same problem. You cannot ignore history. You know, I was in the 10th grade. I showed up late for school, and everyone was watching the television. You know, it was the first time, I think, in high school that I cried my eyes out, and I signed up as soon as I got out, and I've been fighting ever since. And I think that people need to remember that we sent...
Absolutely. That psychologist is all full of it, which says don't watch the images. It should be required viewing in every school from the kindergarten right through college. Instead of teaching them how to put condoms on cucumbers, teach them who the real enemy is. And God bless you for your service to our country. I'm sending you a free copy of Abuse of Power. To all of those out there who love the show today, I need you to go to bookstores Tuesday and clean out the shelves. Send a message to Hollywood. By Abuse of Power.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Obama gave a speech yesterday about the economy and jobs, and I contacted my accountant, who's one of the best in the country, and I said, what does this really mean? And he started to give me answers, and I said, does it really cut payroll taxes or not? And let me read you what he wrote. Can I do that? Here it says, here is a good editorial from the Wall Street Journal that picks apart Obama's speech and proposal. I highlighted the part of the speech that I believe makes the best point. He's tried this massive stimulus before, and it didn't work. What happens in 2013 when the payroll tax increases along with income, capital gains, and dividends? We don't know. Obama didn't provide any certainty to businesses on what future tax rates would be. Who knows if they will go up or down or stay the same? It is just more spending and deficit spending at that. Obama's asking Congress to come up with $447 billion in spending cuts for this proposal so it's paid for. He said, but I will believe that when pigs fly. Also, I included links to a Politico common. I included links to articles about the details. Now I'll go on now to more about it. And actually, I'll talk more about it on the show today. But the fact of the matter is we don't really know what it means other than this. This would be a real cut in payroll tax rates for both employees and employers in 2012. But unless cuts are made permanent, the rates go up in 2013 for a tax increase. This cut would cost the Social Security Trust Fund $230 billion in 2012. Well, here's what happens to Social Security when it goes bankrupt. It would still be able to pay out benefits, but not 100% of the benefits. The reason it could pay partial benefits is because there are still current workers paying into the system. Here's what Obama proposed on the payroll tax, and he nods that out. The bottom line is this. Right now, the employer pays 6.2%. And under the new scheme, it would be 3.1%. However, the 3.1% rate only applies to the first $5 million of a company's payroll. Any payroll above $5 million is taxed at 6.2%. So, in other words, no one knows what it means in plain English, right? Well, those are some of the ramifications of Obama's shuck and jive, because no one knows what he was talking about. So here are the stories that we're covering today on September 9th, 2011. Let's go to michaelsavage.com. President Perry would mean high noon for trial lawyers. You see, Governor Perry, enacted medical malpractice reform in Texas, which is so effective that the doctors were able to come back to Texas while the vermin with law degrees ran out of Texas. Apparently, they ran to every other state in the union. That's a good thing. We want Perry. New climate science vindicates global warming skeptics. I'm just going to read you the headlines. Obama wants $43 million more for wind energy green jobs, even though $500 million was given to donors who are under investigation by the FBI. Dim bulb Prince Charles warns of sixth extinction event. Yeah, he's really something. The Prince of Wales has warned that mankind faces extinction unless humans transform our lifestyles to stop mass consumption, runaway climate change, and destruction of wildfire. The question is, will he give up his Rolls Royce? The answer is, of course not. These are some of the stories on michaelsavage.com. Let's see what else made it to the top. Would you please mark your calendars? Because abuse of power hits the stores next Tuesday. I need you to go in and clean it out. Journalism, terrorism, patriotism. Are you curious about how far up the abuse of power really reaches? Well, okay, abuse of power Tuesday. If you'd like to see something for free, you can see me reading from Abuse of Power at a local restaurant. Cost you nothing to do that. Care says the link between 9/11 and Islam must stop. Turkey says warships will back the next flotilla to Israel. Ooh. Obama Dollar Man back company raided by FBI. Marijuana use rising in the U.S. It's increasingly become the drug of choice among young idiots. All because of George Soros, in my opinion, who legalized it under the guise of medical marijuana in Arizona and California. His goal was to make America stupider, which he has succeeded in doing. Fast and Furious gun found at another crime scene. Thank you, Mr. Holder. Reverend King's, I don't want to say this, but they have new tapes from Jackie Onassis Kennedy in which she didn't trust Martin Luther King Jr. She got some secret wiretaps from the FBI where she says he was lining up sex parties the night of his famous speech. Can you believe this? From a Democrat, I guess she'll be vilified soon on MSNBC. Republican takes lead in race to replace Wiener in Brooklyn. Huh, how do you like that? Fact checked on Obama's claims. Holder denies prior knowledge of Fast and Furious. Union goons attack cops and damage a grain train. A red lawyer wants the Pledge of Allegiance banned in Massachusetts. Deport him. Models take to the catwalk in Spain. See, that's the best story up on michaelsavage.com because it's from the derriere side. And they're all wearing bathing suits. But I got to tell you something. This is in Spain, and the rain in Spain definitely falls down the drain. Obama's illegal alien drunk uncle quietly released from jail. Guess he'll be getting a job in Acorn. Mel Gibson developing Jewish hero epic. Yeah, come on, that's ridiculous. But identity theft is something you have to take seriously. What if someone stole your credit cards and tried to destroy your life? Don't be a victim. Call my advertiser, LifeLock, today. Call LifeLock now at 1-800-LOCK-485 and get 60 risk-free days just for Savage listeners. 1-800-LOCK-485. Call them now. Youth mob attacks Dallas store clerk. Take a look at the dolls. Jihad recruiter used UK market stall. He recruited Muslims to kill British troops. Isn't diversity wonderful? Finally, on MichaelSavage.com, the Mexican military is flying over Texas. Obama hits an all-time low. More uninsured since Obamacare enacted. Shall I go on? I will when I return right here on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Sexual addiction, it's a tough topic to talk about without getting stupid. But I don't know, is there such a thing as sexual addiction? What does that actually mean? That you like sex a lot? By what standard? By what is the norm for sexual desire that should become a disease? At what point does it become a disease? What if a person just simply likes to have sex and it's consensual and he's not hurting anybody, he's not married, let's say. Let's put aside the moral issue of married. So now the guy is single or the girl is single. And they just like to have a roll in the hay. Where is the addiction part in that? Explain that to me. I don't understand where that is. There are some people who are, by the way, disinterested in sex. From the earliest age, they could live without it. And they're good looking, some of them. I met them in my life. Once I met somebody like that. Once. I heard there were others. But generally, people who are alive want sex. If you're alive and you have a life force in you, gusto. Remember eating with gusto, what that once was? Where you dove into a meal and when men would dive into a plate of food and slurp it? That was gusto. Who eats with gusto now? Everyone's so refined. They're so refined. Everybody eats with indifference. Everything's indifferent. But that's called a life force. That keeps you alive, doesn't it? Well, you don't want to talk about it, that's all. Oh, here's a caller on sex addiction, and where is it coming from? This is so much better than talking about Obama and his communism. No, really, believe me, this beats him. First of all, he's on the way down. Listen, this guy is sinking under his own weight, so you don't even have to do anything with Obama right now. The less you say about him, the better. Because each time he talks now, his poll numbers go down. The press is no longer in love with him. The independents already said, you know, take your BS and shove it. And the diehard, you know, left-wing fanatic Democrats who live on welfare and get government contracts, they're never going to stop liking him any more than the Bushies stop defending Bush to the end. So don't even talk about Obama. Just let him keep doing his thing. Only in America could we turn sex into an addiction and a disease. So there could be treatment and treatment facilities and the health insurance industry has to pay for it. Don't you get it? Everything's an illness and needs a pill and a treatment. And then the government has to pay for it. The government picks up your sex addiction. And here's another question for you. If you've ever been in a sex addiction clinic,
Tell me the truth. Call her, whatever you have to do. Change your name, of course. Cover the microphone. My guess is a good place to meet women and have a little fun. Mark in Las Vegas, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Oh, you're cracking me up today. It's really funny.
I'm in a good mood. I feel liberated. So what are you going to tell us about sex addiction?
Well, I think I've probably been one all my life.
Oh, you're one of them folks, huh?
Well, it's not a, in the 50s, we used to have Make Out Lane or whatever in the convertibles and listen to the music you play on the radio.
That's right. In fact, I thought about that last night. I said, in my day, we went out in a car and we got in the back seat. But where is it up with you today? Are you a real nutcase or what?
Well, my friends maybe think so. I'm 58. I've got a 19-year-old girlfriend. Really,
oh, you son of a gun. You had to ruin my day, huh?
No, it's I've just always had a healthy sex appetite. I raised a
yeah,
family.
Yeah, but is she with you for your money or for your sex drive?
Well, I just had a heart attack. I'm living off
of it. Oh, God. From her?
No. Actually, when I was near death, I said a prayer to God, and apparently my prayer was answered because that's what
I wanted. What do you mean? When you're near death, you ask God for a new girlfriend?
Yeah, I thought, I can't die. There's a girl out there that needs me. And by God, I pulled through an amazing. I only had.
Well,
like,
where'd you meet her? How'd you meet her?
Well, I met her playing checkers on the internet, and after a while, we just thought, wow, we could really live together better than we live apart.
That's amazing. You found a compatible mate playing checkers on the internet?
That's been over a year now. I mean, if she wanted to leave, she would have been gone.
But before your heart attack and before the girl. When you say sex addiction, how many times a week did you have to be with a woman to feel sane?
Oh, fairly often. I've went out every Friday, Saturday, Wednesday, and sometimes I even dated twice in the same night. If a girl had to be home by 9, okay, get her home at 9, and then I'm off.
Yeah, but when you say date, Mark, I mean, I don't want to get graphic. It's a family show. Do you mean you always had a woman and you always wound up in the bedroom with her?
Well, now, that's going too far. You don't have to have actual sex. You can do an awful lot of things with a woman. Just kissing and cuddling for long periods of time will do. When I turned 14 in school, I got my motorcycle license. There's always a girl that wants to ride home. And once the parents know that you're safe, you can sit there and make out till they get home. And they come home, they say, well, who's there? It's just Mark. And they let
All right, so you had a high sex drive, and now you had a heart attack. Why, you smoked?
And I still smoke. I like it.
Well, we're not going to go there. Smoking, I think, is the biggest factor in a majority of heart attacks amongst males. Number one factor is the smoking. It's probably a higher risk factor than the saturated fat lie.
Well, you know. We can eat right.
All right, we'll go. And this is already getting on the bordering on the New York City. WOR. We're talking about a topic, thank God, that everyone likes already. It's not about illegal immigrants. It's not about the economy, stupid. It's not about terrorism. It's not about headdresses. It's not about machine guns. This is something that is so American. It's as good as apple pie. It's about sex addiction. Now, that's a topic everybody wants to hear about. This is probably one of the most vicariously interesting topics in the history of talk radio, particularly on a political show. New York WR, what do you know about sex addiction?
Oh,
Robert.
Hi Dr. Savage. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to say that I work in IT security, and I see firsthand what a sex addiction is. The bottom line, sex addiction is anytime sex interferes with normal common sense when a guy is at work and he can't keep it in his pants, and that's a sex addiction.
Oh, wait a minute. You say you're in a security business where, like, you watch buildings and stuff?
No. I investigate security incidents that have to do with computers. So, you know.
Oh, so you go into offices and find people under the desk? All right. Well, that's another story, you know. But, I mean, okay. Tell me how you declare, how you define the difference between a normal, strong sex drive, let's put it on the high end of normal, and sex addiction. What's the difference? Because I'd like to know. I'd like to know what that means. I'd like to know, Chicago Paul, Chicago, you say you've been addicted to sex your whole life?
I call.
Paul, you've been addicted to sex your whole life?
I'm 51 years old. I'm not addicted to sex. I'm a red-blooded American, and that's all I think of constantly, just like every other guy that I know.
That's right. And that's absolutely true. In other words, a lot of guys don't know that every other guy is thinking about it about every 13 seconds.
If you talk about it, yeah. You can't walk into a grocery store. You can't walk into a department store. It's what you do. It's what guys do.
Well, the fact is that we live in the most sexually promiscuous society the world has ever seen. Sex is everywhere. There's no getting away from it. You cannot get away from the salacious imagery, number one, which provokes these impulses in people. By the way, there's a way to provoke it and a way to damp it down. But let's say that we live in this society. Wherever you go, there's a picture of a girl, provocative, this and that. So how do you act this out, Paul? I assume you're not married.
Oh, I am married. I'm married for over 28 years. I've never cheated on my wife. And you can say there's these provocative pictures, but that brings me to the other point of my call to you, sir. You said something about a sex addiction clinic in Mississippi or Missouri. I'm thinking.
Yeah. Tiger Woods is in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, at the Gentle Path, whatever, sex addiction clinic.
There's got to be more beautiful girls there than there are in all of California with all the phony lips, the boobs, all the plastic surgery they get to look like what or to look like who? Like Donald Duck by the time they turn.
Yeah, I know those lips are horrible. They're horrible looking. But he's at the Gentle Path Sexual Addiction Clinic in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. So you're saying there's a lot of babes in Hattiesburg?
I bet there are, and I bet they're all beautiful.
So that's why they set up the sex addiction clinic there. So when the guy relapses, he's got immediately an outlet.
Savage.
The president's job speech in front of Congress, well, it was exactly what I feared it would be. No surprises there, just another $450 billion we can't afford that will do nothing to get us out of this horrible economy Obama has driven us into. Joining us now is a good friend of the Savage Nation, Congressman Alan West, who represents Florida's 22nd Congressional District. Congressman West, welcome back to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Dr. Savage. Really is an honor and a pleasure to be back speaking with you.
What did you get out of Obama's job speech?
Well, what I got from the speech was that it was a speech. And once again, here we're sitting there waiting for the president's arrival. And at 7 o'clock, we got the speech that came in on our Blackberries. And then he started speaking at 7:10. And within 5 minutes, he's telling us to pass his American Jobs Act. Well, this is something that no one has seen. It's not on paper. It's just a speech. So first of all, I think that he's putting the cart before the horse, telling us to pass something that we have no idea about, that the CBO, or the Joint Committee on Taxation, has not evaluated or scored. So once again, it seems this mantra of the Democrat Party that says pass something and then we'll figure it out later or we'll understand what's in it, which is exactly what happened with the health care law, and we see how that has ended up for this country. So once again, I think we saw a president that is very desperate, that just threw out a hodgepodge of ideas when he talked about, you know, how it's going to be paid for, and he says it's not going to affect the deficit. But then he just turned around and said that he wants the super committee, this joint congressional committee, as from the Budget Control Act, to find the savings out to 10 years from now that will enable him to have this. So, you know, for me, that sounds just like Wimpy from Popeye, who always said, I'll gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today. And I think you have to come to the realization that government is a glutton. They continue to ask for the hamburgers, and they're never going to pay you back.
Well, the rhetoric from the left labels the Tea Party as a violent, racist group, but ignores the fact that that type of talk is coming from themselves.
Well, the most important thing to understand is that when you have a failure in your economic policies, when you look at the poll numbers of the president, there is no confidence, there is no certainty out there. They just revert back to the Saul Alinsky rule book, and they pull out the rules, and they say, we got to attack something. We have to attack somebody. And that ends up being the Tea Party. We saw after the S&P downgrade, every single liberal that went on a Sunday show was saying just one simple thing, it's the Tea Party downgrade. And they continue to do that, and even you know, my colleagues in the Congressional Black Caucus have fallen into that mantra and that modus operandi to start attacking the Tea Party, which is nothing more than a constitutional conservative grassroots movement that wants efficient constitutional government. They want fiscal responsibility in Washington, D.C. They want a solid return to our free market, free enterprise principles and our national security stress. And what American, what member of Congress would not want to agree with those basic points? And so I think there is the disconnect in that when you don't have anything that you can offer, when you see that your policies are failing, instead of pivoting and coming up with some new ideas, you just come out and start attacking, which, like I said, is the Saul Alinsky tactic.
With the mainstream media being left-wing, what can we do to show what the truth really is?
Well, that's part of the frustration as well, is that the mainstream media would like to have complete domination of the information airways. But when you have people such as yourself, Dr. Savage, that are out there on talk radio, when you have a Fox News channel, when you also have the blogosphere and the Internet, they're not able to dominate the dialogue, and that's very frustrating for them. So once again, you're going to see them attacking on a multiple fronts as far as how did they try to silence others. I mean, you heard John Kerry not too long ago come out and saying how we should not allow an alternative viewpoint that is not credible to be heard. I mean, these are the type of things they're saying. But then, not too long ago, they were talking about, you know, a fairness doctrine. So now they're talking about suppressing speech. So they're really showing who they are, and they're showing their colors. And I think that what they have to come to realize is that the American people are on to their antics and their gimmicks. Now, of course, they're about, you know, 35 to 40, maybe 42%. That are going to continue to follow that liberal, progressive, socialist ideology? Sure. But I think that the majority and the better part of Americans have come to understand that this is failing the American people. And we continue to see an economy that is not coming out of the doldrums.
How satisfied are you with the current crop of GOP candidates running for president?
Well, I think that we do have a crop, I think 8 or 9, that do provide a viable alternative, and we will be able to find someone that can strongly go up against President Obama. I mean, the most important thing is that someone has to be able to stand against a very powerful image that he projects. Look, you know, he's the campaigner in chief, and he is very comfortable on a stage when he is somewhat prepared and gives his remarks. But we have to have someone that can, you know, have that powerful image that can take them to task when they do one-on-one debating. And I think that that's why it's important that we have a series of debates that help our candidate to refine themselves. And by the end of the year, we'll be able to see who really is the front runner, which will propel us into the 2012 primary season.
Is it going to be possible to get something done before the next election?
Well, I think it's going to be very hard because up here in Washington, D.C., you have such an incredible ideological chasm that is reflected here in the body politic, and that's true across this country. You have a group of individuals that believe that the way forward is a centralized economy that's controlled by government. They believe in the bureaucratic nanny state, and you have individuals that believe in a vibrant, thriving private sector, which means you have to set the right conditions for the free market and for enterprise to grow, and that's coming to a head. You know, we passed many job-creating pieces of legislation out of the House. We passed a budget out of the House, but yet all of that sits at the Senate where nothing is being done because they basically are going to continue to try to be obstructionists for the president. So that's what we're facing right now. And, of course, when the president stands up, as he did in the speech last night, and starts a little bit of bullying and telling people that they have to pass something that's not in writing, you know, that can be a powerful image for some people, but we can't let go of our principles. You know, the president talked last night about, you know, creating tax credits for small businesses. Well, guess what? If you go and look up H.R. 1663, that's a piece of legislation that our office has produced. It's called the Small Business Encouragement Act. And so, once again, this is something that's sitting in committee here in the House that, you know, I could agree with the president on. But yet, I don't know how he's going to pay for these schemes that really ends up being a mini-me stimulus. So we've got to stick to our principles and make sure that we do not allow another almost $500 billion to be thrown down the drain. Because why do we need a president talking about fixing windows and roofs on schools? That's not a grand visionary leader.
How skeptical are you of the president's new job plan?
Well, I'm very skeptical of it because, as you say, it's a speech. It's not a plan. It's nothing on paper. It's nothing in writing. It's nothing that anyone can evaluate or score. And when he talked about how it's going to be paid, he just turned over to the super committee and said, find more spending cuts over the next 10 years. That's not a solution. So, we're going back to the same thing. And toward the end of his speech, you heard the exact same type of rhetoric about millionaires and billionaires. So I'm sure he's going to come up with stuff about corporate corporate jet owners and oil companies. And, you know, it was very interesting last night when he's talking about things being made in America and corporations, you know, staying here in America, not paying taxes. You look right up there in the gallery, and there was Jeffrey Immelt, the CEO of GE, sitting next to his wife, First Lady Michelle Obama. And here's a Jeffrey Immelt who his company, GE, you know, we're starting to look into them selling, you know, technological innovations to China, as well as they paid no corporate taxes. But yet, you know, he is a guy that's an employee of the president. He's one of his economic advisors, czars, or what have you. So, once again, the duplicitous hypocrisy continues to just astonish me.
With the anniversary of 9/11 coming up, does anybody really feel safer today than when we were first attacked?
Well, the feeling that I get and I want to convey to all the listeners, Dr. Savage, is that we must continue to be vigilant and resolute in protecting the American people and identifying this Islamic totalitarian enemy and the militant Islam that is the manifestation of it and how it just not exists in, you know, faraway lands like in Iraq or Afghanistan, but it's right here, and that's what 9/11 must always continue to remind us of. You know, you think about what Major Hassan did at Fort Hood, Texas, what Carlos Bledsoe did at the Army Recruiting Center in Little Rock, what could have happened with Mr. Mutallab with the underwear bombing, or what could have happened with the Times Square bomber. So we still have these things occur in our country, and we know right now they're talking about a terrorist threat with vehicle-borne IEDs and small arms attacks. So we have an unsecure border. We have Iran and Hezbollah operating in South America. So now is the time for us to not allow the enemy to have gaps and show weakness by which they will exploit us. We have to continue to put the pressure on them, but yet we must make sure that we do not sacrifice the freedoms and the liberties of the American people, because therein will also be a victory for the terrorists if they change our way of life.
Congressman Alan West, thanks again for being on the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, thank you so much for having me on your show, and please feel free to call upon me anytime.
I'll be right back. It's the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Administration is having other effects upon me. I'm trying to relax in different ways I haven't relaxed in years. So I went fishing yesterday for the first time in ages. I mean, I swear to God, I went into a bait and tackle store to buy a fishing rod because the halibut are running here in San Francisco Bay. And I figured out, you know, I got a 20-foot boat that I like, a little cabin on it, and I want to go out. I see these guys trolling for fish. So I figured, you know, let me try it. So I go into this bait shop. Nicest guy in the world is in the bait shop. So I said, all right, here's a rod, $338. Before it was through, it was like $400. I said, you know, he was a nice guy. I said to him, you think of how many halibut dinners I could buy for this. He said, I know. So I bought the rod, and he said, well, what are you fishing for? I said, halibut. All right. He says, well, you need this kind of, you want live bait, or do you want, I know, give me a lure. I remember lures from when I was a kid. So he sells me this beautiful lure. You want a 1 pound or a 2 pound? Sinker. I don't know. I said, I don't know. He said, well, try a 1 pound, then take a... So to make a long story short, he hooks it up for me, put it in the car, go down to the boat, go out on the water, establish the fishing rod into that sprocket that they hold, they have for it on the back of the boat. I do have a fishing license. Another thing, the fishing license was $13 for a day. The government bureaucrats, these petty punks, these thieves who do nothing but push papers,
get $13 for a single fishing license for a single day. I couldn't believe it. I mean, it's not that I'm a poor man, but I couldn't believe it. A man can't throw a rod in the water and catch a fish without some communist taking a piece of his hide before he even catches a fish? That's the world I live in. I didn't catch anything, I must tell you. In fact, I lost the hook, the line, and the sinker. But that's a whole other story. But all right, look, I'm not going to cry over spilled milk. Because dragging a set of lures along the bottom of a sandy bay has its own risk. I mean, the lures can catch, and apparently mine caught on something. And I had to cut the line the first day I was out fishing. Well, the funny part is I haven't fished in over 50 years. The last I went fishing was when I was a little kid. People didn't even know. I was an avid fisherman in rivers up in upstate New York. I loved it. We fished for trout. I even caught a number of catfish. I don't know what we did with them. I think we threw them back in. I used to love fishing, but you get older, you go on to other things. But anyway, I'm just trying to find new ways to, pass a few hours and get my mind off the news and the evil government that has emerged in the United States of America. And I will call it evil. I am so sick and tired of hearing that Obama's a nice man with a big heart. I am so tired of the propaganda. I am so sick and tired of hearing how benevolent he is. I believe the man is a naked dictator. And I believe that every day my fears are coming true. And if you don't believe it, it's because you're an ignorant individual who doesn't know history. Play the clip.
This isn't political grandstanding. This isn't class warfare. This is simple math. This is simple math. These are real choices. These are real choices that we've got to make. And I'm pretty sure I know what most Americans would choose. It's not even close.
Did you hear that? And it's organizations like the AARP who control these leftist politicians. AMAC is fighting back. The Association of Mature American Citizens. Your membership can help stop the left wing. Call 800-255-4199. 800-255-4199 or go to AmericaIsRising.com. 800-255-4199. AmericaIsRising.com. So what would you like to talk about? Fishing, meatballs, Obama, discrimination? Any topic is fair game. Let's go to Los Angeles. Luger, KGIL, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, I love your show. I started to realize, just like you, I'm getting sick and tired of being worn out by all this yucky crap happening to freedom. And when I heard you talking about it today, I thought, you know, I really want to call Michael and just tell him, you know what, I think this is like a ploy to just drag us down and tire us out. And eventually a lot of people will just give up.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. That's correct. That's right. And the propaganda has never been greater than right now. This glorification of this unknown social worker from Chicago has reached a fever pitch. They've already it's incomprehensible that they're turning this man into such a genius. The man has never held a job in his life. My head is foggy today. I can't focus. I don't know what it is, a combination of events. So I figured, you know, when I get in these moods where my head feels like there's cotton in it, and I'm really not that focused because I am so bored with politics that I could literally stop talking. I could take a vow of silence.
If I were a rich man.
No, yeah.
All day long I'd biddy biddy bum. If I were a wealthy man.
All right, turn it off already. $13 fishing license. I can't believe that these bums, these faceless, useless, state working bums, who spend about 12 minutes a day doing something, and the rest of the day looking at internet pornography or trading stocks on their computer, have the nerve to charge $13 for a single day's fishing in San Francisco Bay. How could an average man take this? How could a poor man, go out and, what if he had to go out and catch a fish for a living? Who ever heard of a country like this, that you have to buy a fishing license? Now, where does that money go? Where does that $13 go? Tell me why the state needs that $13. So they could pay for the health care of illegal aliens? Maybe it was the sausage and peppers that clouded my brain. There's a lot of truth to the light diet and focus, but I'm tired of being focused. Because when I grew up, I ate steak and French fries every night till I left my mother's house. Every night, meat for breakfast, meat for lunch, meat for dinner. If there was any truth to the fact that it was cholesterol alone, I would have been dead at 12. It's not just that. You know, don't be obsessed with this cholesterol that your doctors have sold you on. Utter rubbish. All diseases are multifactorial, including heart disease. We know genetics are one component to a greater or lesser extent, depending upon the individual. We know the environment is the largest component outside of genetics. And then I keep telling you that there's a mysterious component to all illnesses, the unknown. It's not all nailed down. When I was in graduate school, my doctoral committee was made up of very, very smart men. And one of them was a medical doctor as well as a PhD who said to me that he's done many in an autopsy where the victim was young and their arteries were completely clear and they died of a heart attack. I said, thank you very much. I'm going out to the Avenue to have a drink after work. I mean, you know, there's a certain point, which is, stop it already. Stop obsessing that you control your own mortality to the nth degree, because you don't. Savage.